Hi, I'm Jen Turner, and I'm a psychic medium.
Hi, I'm Nadia Thorman, and I'm like the Ryan Seacrest to her Teresa Caputo.
And we're here to have a normal conversation about weird stuff.
Welcome to
The Soul Spot.
Okay, take three. Hello, friends.
Hello, everyone.
Jen and I are on a road trip because our besties are getting married, and we're on the way to go wine tasting to Woo! Their bachelor party. Shout out Adam and Sean. Yay. We are so excited. Pretty soon we probably are going to be very inebriated, but we've been talking about all these spiritual things in the car, and we're like, we have to record this.
And this is really fun because it's like you guys are just along for the ride with us.
This is like this is a reality television.
Yep.
It's gritty. it's real. But I've been finally reading A Course in Miracles. I just opened the window. My foot.
I need to like lock the windows, like childproof the car while we're recording.
It's fine.
Okay.
I've finally been reading A Course in Miracles, Made Easy from Alan Cohen, and it is so amazing and so profound.
Can I give the backstory real fast about,
yes,
like, A Course in Miracles?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so A Course in Miracles is, we've talked about it before, it's kind of this spiritual literature that may or may not have been in the 70s when
I think 1975 was the original.
Okay, perfect. But Alan Cohen is that other spiritual teacher that we talked about before in previous podcasts. And this is the one, I really like his interpretation of A Course in Miracles. I really like the way that he, just his overall approach. I am basically for everything that Alan Cohen says. So, I wanted to read his interpretation of it, and then I gave it to Nadia. So this is kind of, when we're talking about Alan Cohen, it's his adaptation of A Course in Miracles.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that backstory. Because I could not have said it that eloquently. But when I have been reading this book, it's like so, I mean, every page, every other sentence, I mean, I can't even emphasize it enough. I feel like it's so profound where I'm like constantly applying these profound words to my own life, and it's such an amazing read. But
so let me ask you this,
okay,
because I know that there's so many topics and it's hard to like just pick one, but from where you are now in the book, what has been like your biggest takeaway from it?
The biggest theme throughout the book is all about like the power of God within you.
Yep.
Okay, number one. Number two, I think one of the biggest overall lessons that we talk about all the time, it's a lot of that, it's the love versus fear. But with that, one of the most profound things that's really resonating with me. Hello, GPS.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. One of the, what's really resonating with me, more than it ever has before, even though this is something that I have read before and we've talked about, I'm getting a deeper understanding of the idea that to surrender is to reclaim your power.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And this is so important and so impactful once you really, kind of meditate on it, because what I'm getting from this book is that you have to channel everybody that you interact with in your life with the mentality of love and peace in order to receive that in return. And I know we've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
But it's really, really for everything. And the idea of to surrender spiritually, it does, there is a, in more of a basic connotation when you're not talking about in a spiritual way, people think of the term surrendering as to be defeated, as to give up, as to, you know, not try to do something.
They lose. You surrender. Yeah.
But to get what you want in life, which is happiness, peace, and love.
Yep.
The only way ever to get that is through surrendering. And to really understand this at a deeper level, it's like Okay, can you help me out here? Because, like, what's an example of this? Like, if I'm trying to accomplish something, let's say, like, if someone's doing something I don't like, what's an example of
how
I'm
going to... Well, I'll give you a really dumb example, but yeah, it's something good. That you and I feel all the time, is that you go into a restaurant, maybe you're met by an angry hostess or a stressed out hostess, right? Instead of taking the defense and fighting to, like, just to get your justice, right? And to prove them wrong and to get what you need with that table set or whatever it is. You can just come from a place of surrender and be like, I understand. Right. It must be super busy for you.
Because you know what? Yes, this is a great example, because when you say, I understand, it must be busy for you, what's going to happen now? You're transferring that energy to the waitress.
Yep.
Okay. So you're transferring the energy of patience and understanding to her. And what, you know what that's going to do to her? She's going to receive that energy. She's going to de-escalate from her stress. She's going to take a deep breath. She's going to say, okay, great. These people are kind and patient. And then she's going to be able to think more clearly. And maybe I say, you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, I could probably get you sat over there in just a minute as soon as these people leave. It gives her the opportunity now to meet you in that place.
Absolutely. But I'm gonna take it even a step further from that, okay?
Yeah.
Is that because that is, I think, a really just practical example in which we all can probably experience wherever it is. If you're met with a service provider who's giving you attitude or being very difficult, you know that you can shift the energy by being positive. The difference is for the spiritual practice and like A Course in Miracles is to do so without expectation.
Right.
So we're doing it not because of the outcome we want, but we're doing it because that is going to bring us the peace.
Right. Oh gosh. It's so profound. And I know that like talking about it isn't going to do it as much justice as actually like, you know, go and read this book. But it is, okay, I remember a really good anecdote that Alan Cohen talks about in this book. A Tibetan monk was kept as like a prisoner of war, and they were interviewing him about his time, and he was held captive by the Japanese, and they asked him, like, what was the hardest part for you about being held captive, was it when you were being tortured or when you were, you know, experiencing all this physical pain? And he said, no, the worst part was when I became angry.
Yeah.
Because that caused the most physical pain for him, because what happened when he became angry is he was releasing his power.
Yep.
And that for him was a way more of a, it was a way bigger form of being trapped in some hellish ordeal to release your power and give away your inner peace. That's what it was.
Yeah.
He was giving away his inner peace.
I understand that so much.
So to really dumb this down, you know, when you become angry, all of us in our normal lives for whatever reason, even if it's justified, you know, quote unquote justified, spiritually, we give away our peace when we anger. And so it doesn't matter if the other person's bad or wrong or evil or all of these things that we can project onto them. What really happens when we anger is we give away our inner peace. And that's a choice.
It absolutely is. And so it's interesting because I'm obviously a very, very big believer in this. And it's something that I try to practice every day. I'm human and I totally mess up quite frequently. But I don't hold on to anger. I really like try to let that go. But there's also this fine line that I want to talk about, because there's a practicality of this, of there also needs to be really healthy boundaries in place. And you also need to be able to self-advocate at the same time. And my message to everybody is that can all exist with the surrender.
Right.
Because you're surrendering within boundaries that you've created.
Right.
So it's kind of this fine line, because I can think of a couple relationships that I have in my life where I don't want to just be taken advantage of time and time and time again.
Right.
Right. But what I can do is I can surrender to love and let them go with love.
surrender to love. That's
right?
it.
Mm-hmm. And I can be there for them when they need, mm-hmm. but I also can choose not to be part of the toxicity of drama or whatever it may be that they bring into my life, because that doesn't serve me either.
Right.
So I just want to be like aware that the pendulum can kind of swing, and I can live in this like zenful place. So you can live in that zenful place without being taken advantage of,
right?
I guess, is that it's that choice to surrender. And I think that, I mean, I can think of a gazillion examples day to day of choosing the surrender. And then when you think that you have surrendered enough, surrender more.
Right. Right. Because I think, I mean, we're talking spiritually here, and the ultimate goal for our lives, is to live in a place of peace, to live in a place of where we remove things that stress us out, the things that get us wound up, the anger and the, you know, we're trying to get to a place where we have as little stress as possible, where we're surrounded by love, where things, you know, that things manifest for ourselves, like mm-hmm. all of that energy. We always talk about with the law of attraction stuff. It's like you're putting your energy into fully existing as that human. So if you're going to exist as a person who has inner peace, we have to behave like a person who has inner peace.
Yeah.
Right. The same way, you know, when we manifest anything for ourselves, we have to step into that.
Yeah.
Because that's how we reclaim our power.
Right.
So anyways,
I love that. I mean, that's a huge takeaway. Like it, honestly, if that's like the one big thing that you get, that's like so enough and so amazing. So surrendering the concept of it, I think is such a beautiful practice. We always talk about these spiritual practices and like use the word practice because you have to practice it.
It is a practice. And like, I always, you know, I always get cheesy and I'm like reach into your toolbox, or it's like a tool I have now, but it's true. It's the more you have these spiritual practices, the more when you're weak and you're not doing any of these things, you have them like really quick to access, you know,
yeah.
You have tools that you can like de-escalate yourself.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You can get grounded. You can think of an affirmation that you made, or, you know, I really simple for me, that's been so helpful. And I've said this a lot in this podcast, but the choosing love over fear thing, like
yeah.
it's been so helpful to me, because in moments when I get really spun out, I stop and I think, okay, choose love,
yep.
you know? And then everything comes down to that. And it's overly simplified, but it kind of has to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe overly simplified, but it's like definitely profound and it's really deep. And I think that thought, will serve you forever, and you can adapt it to different, it's like a very, very dynamic kind of philosophy. And I think with the surrendering conversation, when we talk about that, it's so interesting because I can give another example of where like a work scenario where I will get, and I'm kind of like a feisty or fiery person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for me like not to get worked up. I don't feel like I get worked up often, but I do feel like I want justice for people and I want justice for myself. And like if something's unfair, that kind of crosses the line for me.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, I feel like you're the same way where it's like, we have that fiery, we're not like wallflowers here.
No, I get real feisty. It is interesting because I do think sometimes like some of my traits that are like almost kind of fun or amusing for myself.
Don't, yeah.
How they line up spiritually.
Don't serve you.
Right.
Yeah.
That they don't serve me.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just kind of this growth trajectory, I guess.
Completely. And I think for me, what's interesting is that I used to be, and I feel like you know this so well about me, like my early 20s or my 20s even, of just like, if somebody did me wrong or if somebody, wherever we were, it's like, I have no problem confronting it.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, I will fight you on like the terms and conditions of my lease or my whatever. Like I would happily engage in that conversation. And then now I feel like for me, it's to not avoid it, but to not give my energy to it feels so much more powerful than even if I were to fight it and win.
Completely. And I think a lot of it too is just like the way you learn to manage those situations. So like if you were, you know, going to right a wrong, unless they send someone an email about something that you didn't agree with, it's all about the energy you have when you're writing it, how you approach it, how you, you know, can meet that person in a place of patience and understanding, because you, when you vibrate at that level, you're inviting them to come with you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of you scolding and talking down to or condescending.
Never gonna work. You're never going to change anyone's mind by that, you know?
Right. And when you school somebody, even if you're correct, like they're going to meet you in that energy and you're going to be met with defensiveness and you're going to be met with, maybe they now feel defeated and it's just not going to produce the same result. Right.
Or if somebody's scolding me, you know, like if you get that at work or whatever, and then it's like for me to just disengage and surrender and be like, I love them. They must be having a bad day, or this is just who they are. And they are in the same soul journey as I am in.
Right.
And I'm going to just not engage with them is the most, it's where I can keep my energy and where I can keep my power. If I were to actually like go back in to the confrontation of it is when I feel gross.
Uh-huh.
And is when I, and like, I have this in like with some relationships in my family where it's like, I'm not going to fight you on it.
Right.
I'm just not. And it's not because it's not worth it. And it's not because you're right. It's because I don't want to give, I'm surrendering to love and I don't want to give you my, I don't want you to activate those parts of me.
Yes, I agree with everything you said completely. I love all of that. I was just thinking about something before you said that.
By the way, just to like paint the picture for everybody, I'm driving and we're like behind a big Tostitos truck right now.
It
like,
says this bring is... the party. I mean, I don't know why. All of a sudden I'm craving fake cheese. And a really salty chip.
Sorry, I had to just paint the picture for everyone. This is, and then there's a Walmart truck ahead as well.
Yeah, you know, we're on our way to great things. We're gonna have a great weekend. But no, I love that, and I think the disengage piece of the advice is huge, and I think it's really hard for people, especially with the texts and the online, the DMs and the comments and the this and the that, and it's like. Again, it's like our energy is currency, like we said last week, and we need to choose wisely where we invest.
Yep.
And that is for everything from big to small. From big to small, it all adds up because our body physically processes all those negative things the same way. The stresses, the fight, the fighting mechanism, or the, you know, debating aspect. It's like our body kind of, whether it's big or small, our body kind of internalizes it the same.
It does.
So that's just a good, you know, tip in for self-care to just remember, like, this is your currency and to, you know.
Yeah. And whenever you're fighting or when you're in a fight mode, usually people who are wired to be in a fight mode constantly, it's because of trauma, right? And so if you're in a fight mode all the time, it's really time to kind of evaluate what causes that. And then also when you're in the fight mode, you are paying the price for that. Like you are giving your energy to this and you are paying into this, you're buying into this and you're giving it. You can save your money. You can save your energy. Mm-hmm. And not go in there. I think that what's interesting about the love and fear conversation is when you look at the fight, that is the fear, right? So right. It's like if there's only two emotions, love and fear, and you're in a fighting mindset, you're in a fearful mindset.
Yep.
So what is the fear? The fear is that...
break it down every time.
Break it down. And you can always break it down. It usually breaks down into like a few different things of like fear of... not being in control.
Uh-huh.
That's probably the number one thing I get in the readings of like fear of not being in control,
mm-hmm.
fear of being like misunderstood,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many different ones that you could, but I fear of like some negative outcome happening, but that actually is just control as well, because it's right. like the fear that if I don't intercede, that something horrible is going to happen. Right.
And like most things, are all of that, those fear emotions come from things that have not yet happened.
Yeah.
They're imaginary situations we create about the future that haven't happened. So, another thing he touches on in this book that any kind of spiritual anyone talks about is to remembering that our peace and our heaven is always going to be in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. That
our peace and our heaven is always going to be in the present moment.
I love it.
And whenever we're having any of those fear emotions, that we have to figure out a way to channel ourselves back to what's in front of us, to what's in the present moment, and really live in the present.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this has been a great episode.
Yeah.
Let's just wrap on
that.
It was a really fast 20 minutes. But like, also our GPS is going to instruct us soon to go somewhere else. And I know if we just keep talking, we're going to get lost.
Can I say something about the Patreon account?
Yeah, we're not doing it.
We're not. Sorry. Sorry, people. So I know there has been a few people that have reached out about it. And thank you so much for all of the followers that signed up for it. We just felt like it was a little bit too much for right now. We are so packed with motherhood and this and that. So we want to continue delivering great content to you guys weekly on the podcast and not take away from that. So when we're in a better position to actually like keep on top of that and maintain it, we will let you guys know. But yeah, thank you again to everybody.
Yes. Thank you. We love you guys so much. We'll talk to you next week.
And you can find Nadia.
Oh yeah. Okay. We're going to plug. You can find me on Instagram. It's my name at Nadia Thorman. And you can find Jen on Instagram at the.soul.spot.
Yay.
All right. Thanks, bye.
Everyone. Bye.